Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Among the many books of Srila Prabhupada is one booklet called The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Have any of you read that? Any? Hands up, please. Not so much. It's not such a well-known book. It's a small booklet. It's prepared from some of Srila Prabhupada's speaking on this topic. It's small, but it is very, very powerful. It's among the heavier of Srila Prabhupada's books. By heavy, we often think of very strong language, which Srila Prabhupada often used, as I have pointed out in great detail in this book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Srila Prabhupada often used words like fool, rascal, nonsense, animal to refer to human beings, as well as animals, mostly human beings, and so on. This, of course, is not Srila Prabhupada's invention. It is the idiom of Shastra, especially the main or the foundational Shastras of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Gita and Bhagavatam. Heavy can mean using strong words, and it's not, anyone can use strong words. It's not that difficult to use strong words, but heavy also in the sense of being deep, profound, another word for deep, and disturbing. Disturbing because it's true, and it's unpleasant truth. Actually, the truth is never unpleasant, but it may appear so to persons who have constructed in their minds, or who have allowed others to construct in their minds, a different understanding of the truth than that of what the truth actually is. So this booklet is very heavy because Srila Prabhupada points out, through the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, what a nasty, hypocritical place this material world is, and how bad we all are for not being Krishna conscious. With the advent of the internet, there have come up several sites which profess to propound the truth. And indeed, they may well do so. The truth as distinguished from what you get in your average newspaper or website or from the TV. They tell the news behind the news, all the lies and backdoor dealings of politicians, and how the regular news is, maybe there's some truth in it, but a lot of it is what certain people want you to believe. So they attempt to reveal the underlying truth. It's interesting, but more or less useless for any really real purpose. Vedyam Vasavam Atra Vasavam. The real knowledge is this thing. Bhagavatam opens up by declaring that the real knowledge is here. Real truth is here. Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. The persons who want to know the news behind the news, what's really going on, all the different scams and the lies of the politicians and so on and so on and so on. They are attempting to do a noble job of giving the real truth so that all the people of the world can live in a imagined world, just like John Lennon. He's not very big over here, but in the West, if you say John Lennon. I tried it out recently in London. I quoted his Imagine song, and you don't know, but he says, imagine a world in which everyone is living peacefully and wonderfully without religion. And, well, that was just one of the conditions. So the idea is that we'll all live together very peacefully. We'll expose all the politicians and the Monsantos and his brothers, and then everything will be nice. Rubbish. That's what we learn from the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. That's what we learn from Srila Prabhupada, and that is one of the key points that separates Srila Prabhupada from so many other speakers on the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada didn't just give Leela. He gave the teachings that we need to know as a prerequisite to understanding or having any real appreciation of Krishna's pastimes. It also distinguishes Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the teachings of the Bhagavatam. They distinguish real religion from Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. In the Western world, especially the English-speaking Western world at the present time, there's a lot of discussion between people who call themselves new atheists, although nothing particularly new about it, that's true. Hiranyakashipu is an atheist. Well, I guess they're in a different category to Hiranyakashipu. I guess they think they're more informed than the old atheists. They've put themselves up against religion, and particularly against Christianity and Islam. So I've watched recordings of several of these debates, and they go on. There are these whole debates on whether will atheism make the world a better place, or will Christianity make the world a better place, which is totally irrelevant to the question of whether or not God exists, which is supposed to be what they're talking about. And it's actually irrelevant to anything of any import at all, because as we understand, we're not supposed to live in this world. It's not our aim and object to try to make this world a better place. That should come about as a byproduct of Krishna consciousness. But it's not the purpose of actual transcendental understanding. Begins with understanding that this world, after all, is no better than a hole into which people pass through. That was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's description of it. Vishagarta, stool hole. So, to try to make it better, bring the vim, make it a better place. Is atheistic vim better than Christian vim or any other vim? Well, our real task in life is not cleaning toilets. Our real task is to come to the real light, the world beyond birth and death. Kim sukham martya dhamina. Where is the happiness in a place of death? Narad Muni repeatedly asks. So, Srila Prabhupada's analysis, if you see that book, The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, based on Prahlad, because it's the same thing. It's the same thing going on at the time of Prahlad, as now, and as always will be in this world. There'll always be cheating politicians. If you kick out one set of cheating politicians, another set will come in. Unless we get Rama or Yudhishthira, if we have actually Krishna conscious leaders, then there's some hope. Otherwise, trying to work everything out on the basis of our own imagined morality in the bodily concept of life, which works on the basis of aham mamiti, I, me and mine. That means I and mine means you and yours. So immediately there's enmity. So Srila Prabhupada's analysis is the news behind the news behind the news. And the news behind the news behind the news is that all the news of this world is nothing new. It's just the same old script over and over again with different faces. It's the same old eating, sleeping, mating, defending, exploiting, torturing, someone becoming big dog, someone becoming a little dog, as we heard this morning. It's the same old thing. So, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted several of Prahlad Maharaj's verses, the verses of Prahlad Maharaj that are recorded in Bhagavatam. He quoted several of them quite often, and several of them are really keys to his mission. When Srila Prabhupada was translating this section of the Bhagavatam, that was 1975, was it? No, 1976. And I just spoken this morning about Prabhupada sets, but I'm going to say one anyway. I was visiting Vrindavan at that time, and word was going around that Srila Prabhupada, he was Harikesh Maharaj at that time, had noted to Srila Prabhupada that in this section, especially when Srila Prabhupada's translating this section of Prahlad Maharaj, his Prahlad Nrsimha section, that Srila Prabhupada was especially absorbed in this section, which, because Srila Prabhupada was very much absorbed in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prayena Deva Mulya. I'll read that in a moment. I thought to just read out a few of the verses spoken by Prahlad. There are many, many verses, of course. Prahlad's prayers to Nrsimha, they are a whole theological treatise in themselves. And Srila Prabhupada mostly quoted not from that section exactly, but a few other verses. This which we can read first. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't often quote this, but in his purport to this verse, which is in the fifth canto, those of you who are studying Bhagavatam carefully know that the Prahlad Nrisimha section comes in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. This is a prayer of Prahlad Maharaj to Nrisimhadev that comes in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, in the section that the residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. So in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada recommended that all devotees learn this verse and pray to regularly recite this, pray this to Nrisimhadev. So you can read it. Do you want to chant it together? Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajranakha Vajradangstra Karmashayan Randhaya Randhaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhurishta Om Shrom. Yeah, so why it's good for us to repeatedly recite this verse, we can understand from the translation. This morning, after Jayadvaita Maharaj's class, came up a few of the kind of question that falls in the FAQ section. Just how can we be free of material desires? We're chanting Hare Krishna. The varieties of this question come up often. So, here's a good answer. Recite this verse. Pray to Nrisimhadev like this. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth, just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Hey, fruitive didn't make it in the Microsoft dictionary yet. It's underlined. That means it's not in the dictionary. It's in the OED. Tell them. They're not reading Prabhupada's books enough. Please appear in our hearts and demon-like. They're not reading Prabhupada's books, these rascals. You tell them to read Prabhupada's books. Include all these words, important words. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance so that by your mercy, they're all rascals. They've underlined your. They don't like it. They don't like he should be a capital Y. Is that the reason it's underlined? Is it capital Y? You don't know. By your mercy, we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. Nrisimhadev is very powerful. Vajranakha, Vajradangstra, ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. And Prahlad is a very powerful devotee. That on to fulfill his word, Nrisimhadev appeared. So this is a very powerful prayer which we may pray so that those very strong desires in our hearts, we can pray Nrisimhadev to rip them to pieces. So I'm just going to go through these verses quickly because they're all very, very important. You can go to the next one then. The next one is what Prahlad Maharaj, he opened his teachings to his schoolmates. And Srila Prabhupada would often quote this. There used to be a BBT newsletter would come around to the temples. One thing, just to put what I'm going to say into context. When Srila Prabhupada was personally present, he was translating books, which means we didn't have all the books and we didn't know many of the things that we knew now. So Srila Prabhupada, he often spoke about Gurukul, and one of his disciples asked him, is Gurukul mentioned in Bhagavata? And this conversation was recorded in the BBT newsletter, because at this time the seventh canto hadn't been published. Actually, if the devotee asking had been reading very carefully, he would see that this verse is the first verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in his whole Bhagavatam commentary. It comes up in the preface. So the question Srila Prabhupada answered by quoting this verse and the verse there with, no, actually Gurukul is not mentioned, but then the Brahmachari Gurukul verse. So this verse then, you'd like to chant, Sri Praharadu Vacha Kaumara Acharet Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatanya Duralabham Manusham Janma Tadapya Dhruvam Arthadam. Every word is Arthadam, gives much meaning. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. So this underscores the importance of Dharman Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness. It should be practiced from the beginning of life. This shows the importance of Gurukul, that children can be trained in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. What happens if they go to the Shanda Amarka school, which means every other school except Gurukul? Shanda and Amarka were the demoniac brahmanas, supposed to be brahmanas, who were teaching Prahlad. So most schools, actually all schools, even nowadays what's called Gurukul, many religious institutions, they have, in India, they have schools which they call Gurukul. But basically it's just the same syllabus as any other syllabus. And it's the same aim. The main aim is to train the children to be an economic unit, a worker come consumer in the consumer society, to instill such values in them, in the children, that they have to have a good job. And for that, they should have a good qualification. And for that, they should study hard at the school. So this kind of training, Srila Prabhupada referred to this as a slaughterhouse, schools as slaughterhouses, because they butcher the children's possible inclination toward Krishna consciousness. So from the very beginning of life, one should imbibe this, Kaumara, from the earliest stage of life. Kaumara Acharam Pragya, one who is actually knowledgeable, one who is actually intelligent. Knowing that human life is temporary, very valuable, it should be properly utilized from the very beginning. So this was a verse that Srila Prabhupada would often quote. What's the next one on the list? Ah, yeah. Sukham. Can you convert that into suitable font? Okay. Sukham Aindriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yatha Dukham Ayatnataha. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. So, you got it coming to you, either good or bad. This, of course, could be the subject of much discussion, the common discussion of destiny versus free will. But it's not really destiny versus free will, it's destiny and free will. Both factors are at work. We have, due to our past activities, we have certain situations lined up for us in this life. But how we respond to that, that will shape our future. If it was all absolutely predestined, then what would be the meaning of fruitive results? We'd just be some characters in a cartoon, that's all. But the point Prahlad is making here is that anyway, this whole school, we're being trained so that we can get ahead in life. But we have a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of distress lined up for us. So there's no need to endeavor for that, he says. But the point is that we should endeavor to be Krishna conscious. Then the next one. Please remember, I'm chosen out of the many, many verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. I'm showing the ones which Srila Prabhupada particularly quoted most often. Along the same, a similar theme. This is actually from the prayers. This is one of from the prayers. Balasyane asharanam pitarao nrsimha nartasya chagadamudandati manjato nohu taptasya tatpati vidhir ya ihanja sheshtas tavadvibho tanubritang tvad upekshitanam. My dear Lord Nrsimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. So it's similar to the verse we just read. But with the particular context that whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child, although it's their duty to attempt to do so. But if fate is against them, if the child has to die, then the parents cannot save the child. Balas jane hasharanang pitaro nrsimha kantil. Thank you. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. Serendipity. How about that? Well, it may be temporarily beneficial. That's what it aims at.
It was only homeopathy.
No, it's Ayurveda. Kantil. I believe it's made in Vadodara.
Oh, right.
Is it? There you go. We love Gujarat. For example, a father, a physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. These are all extremely profound observations. We're so used to being in the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, we're used to such statements. For us, it's the point of daily discussion. But this, any one of these verses, is just so much more profound than you'll get if you go through the whole of your school, and even if you study all these great authors with all their great thoughts. We're so fortunate to be exposed to the teachings of Prahlad and the teachings of Bhagavatam, to have this light on reality, light on truth. Who thinks like this? You go out in the bazaar and talk, they're open on the holiday also because they can't imagine what else to do but open their shop, even if no one comes. Just maybe nice people, but they can think of money and not much else. Even if they have lots of money, they want to make more. They don't know anything else. Very unfortunate life. So we're very fortunate to have such insights that no one in this world can protect us. Krishna can protect us. Krishna does protect his devotee. Otherwise, we're all out at sea. We may be on a boat, but the boat, if we're destined to die, the boat cannot protect us. There's that your well-known story of the Titanic. Although apparently, I just recently read that it's a myth that the Titanic was said to be invincible. Maybe, anyway, who knows? But the idea, the invincible boat, the unbeatable army. There's no such thing. Krishna is the only one who we can fully rely on. And in this world, everything is flimsy. Life, what we consider to be life, that itself, flimsy. This body, one good blow, it can be finished. Those who know martial arts, they know where to hit. It can finish. You're driving in a car and feeling very, it's just some tin can, and then an accident and it just crumples up. Sri Vala Prabhu, you know. How many years? 15 years ago, was that? 20 years ago. Just you're driving and the vehicle crumpled up. Everything in this world is very flimsy. Oh, I have the verses here. All right, now the next three verses are verses of Prahlad Maharaj, which Srila Prabhupada, he very much absorbed or radiated this mood himself. And this one, the one we're going to read now, was one that's the next one. The next one he quoted when he came to America and when he wrote his poem. So this one, let us read.
Naivodvijay paraturyatyaya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha shochetato vimukhachetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So this was very much Srila Prabhupada's mood. He himself was fully absorbed in Krishna, but he was concerned with the fools and rascals who are making plans, illusory plans, maya sukh, plans for illusory happiness. Vimukha, they are vimukha, they are inimical, or they've turned themselves away from Krishna. Indriyartha, maya sukha. They are interested in sense gratification. Plans for illusory happiness based on sense gratification. And they are vimurha. So this is heavy, heavy term used by Prahlad Maharaj. Great fool, greatly foolish. So we can see how this is very much the mood of Srila Prabhupada and the mood that he wanted to instill into his disciples, that they should also take up this preaching of Krishna consciousness to help others become free from their plans, from their illusion of thinking that they can be happy on the platform of sense gratification. Then, prayena deva munaya swavimukti kama monam charanti vijanena pararta nishtaha naitan vihaya kripanan vimamuksha eko nanyam tvadasya sharanam brahmato nupashye. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mounavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Just see how this is Srila Prabhupada's mood. And going back, back and back and back through so many yuga cycles to Prahlad Maharaj, the same mood. Practically seeing as a fault, saintliness seen as a fault. Someone has become very saintly and they've left the world and they've left all this illusion and they are condemned. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also condemned that. Nirjan bhajan, going away just for your own deliverance. The Babajis, yeah. He practically condemned that. That you have to be out in the world fighting for Krishna. Fighting me out in the world preaching means we have to fight. Preaching means to fight with all the owls, as Srila Prabhupada said. The owls, they will deny that there is any sun. they will close their eyes and say, there is no sun, I do not see it. So you have to fight with all these owls. Of course, one should be intelligent enough to know what should be taken literally and what should not be taken literally. We're not going to go out and have searching for literally for owls and then fight with them. But the people who are like owls, we should bring them to Krishna consciousness. Drag them, even if they don't want, but we have to bring them in. Then, another verse of Prahlad Maharaj, which Srila Prabhupada often quoted. Now, what is it? What is this Indriyartha Maya Sukh that the Vimudhas are illusioned by? The illusory happiness based on sense enjoyment, which the very foolish people who are Vimukha Chetasa, whose consciousness is turned away from Krishna, what is it? Why are they not attracted to Krishna? What is that enjoyment that they're so much concerned with? Prahlad Maharaj describes it. Yan maithunadi grihamethi sukham hi tucham kandu yanena kareya eva dukha dukham tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhaja kanduti van manasijang vishaheta dhiraha. Again, these are all verses that Srila Prabhupada often quoted. There are many, several hundred verses which he often quoted, and these, the ones that I've chosen, are all from Prahlad's teachings that he regularly quoted. This is really the news behind the news behind the news. What everyone, they want to live peacefully and happily, and this, what is it that they are aspiring for? Why is it that they cannot see? Griheshu apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu griyamedhinam. What is it that makes them, that they cannot see? Apashyatam atmatatvam. They cannot see the facts about the self and God. Why is that? Because they're tied up. This term is used in the Bhagavatam, grihamedhi, which literally in terms of Sanskrit language doesn't have any great difference to the term grihastha, but in the usage of the Bhagavatam, it means, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes it, means someone who's tied to family life. So the translation of this verse: sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Understand that? Rubbing, there's some itching. So you rub it like this. So sex life is compared to that. Grihamedhis, so-called grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge. This is, Srila Prabhupada is adding, as he often does in the translation, he's adding some explanation in the translation itself. The so-called grihasthas who have no spiritual knowledge doesn't come in the Sanskrit, but that's derived, we can understand that's derived from that. Apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu grihamedhinam. They do not see the truth of the self. In other words, they have no spiritual knowledge. Grihamedhi, so-called grihasthas who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. Again, that we can understand this from the happiness of sex life, which is it's a source of distress, but it's taken to be a source of happiness. We can understand that from the Gita verse, that yehi sang sparshaja bhoga dukha yonya evate adyantavanta konta nateshu ramate buddha. That the happiness, sang sparshaja, the happiness of touch, the pleasure, enjoyment, sang sparshaja bhoga, is the cause of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, which again you'll find in the Gita, Srila Prabhupada quotes these words to gargi. What is the difference between a brahmana and a kripana? Brahmana is one who utilizes the human form of life for spiritual realization, and a kripana is one who does not utilize his human form of life for spiritual realization. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. So this is heavy. This is more heavy than the revelations in the news and the websites that reveal how some secret deal is going on between one country and another, how they're cheating, how the politicians are cheating us. We're all being cheated. Everyone in the world is being cheated. How we're all cheating ourselves. The biggest, who's cheating us the most? We're all being cheated. Who is cheating you the most? Find out that person. Wring his neck. It's we ourselves. We can point our finger and say, look, these politicians are cheating us. These corporations are cheating us. The educational system is cheating. It's true. It's all true. But who's cheating us most of all? Ourselves. Because we desire to be cheated. We desire to be cheated so that we can enjoy the happiness of one skin rubbing against another. This Yan Maituna Digrihamedi Sukham Hituchham verse runs parallel to, or has a similar theme to that of another verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted, which I didn't give you. See if you can find that. This Pungsastri Amita, it's chapter, Skanda 5, chapter 5, text 4, something like that. Pumsastriya mituni bhavametam tayaraho hridya grantyam ahu aho griha kshetra sutapta vitayar janasya mohoyam. No. That's another important verse. It's pungsa with H at the end. Then striyo, I believe it is. No, that won't be it. No, it isn't.
But it's only once it comes up, so I think that's...
Anyway, we'll look it up afterward. Yeah, this is another of those... this is the kind of verse, if you go to Vrindavan and Mathura, you'll see everywhere huge posters for Bhagavat Saptahas and this Vyas and that Vyas, giving Bhagavad Sapta.
I've not been to any of them, but
I doubt very much if they're lecturing on this verse. What is Maya? Well,
Janasya Moho Yam Ahamameti.
The maya, the illusion that people are in, I, me and mine, ahammameti, And that is in terms of thinking of my home, my country, Atogriha Chetra, my children, my relatives, my money. Right? That's somewhat tolerable. But then when we get a little deeper, it all boils down to the attraction between male and female. The basic principle of material existence. What is Maya? What is Maya? The Maya means that which is not. Maya means to think in terms of I, me, and mine separately from Krishna. Maya is manifest as thinking in terms of my home, my country, my property, my family and relatives, my wealth. These are the symptoms. And the basic principle is attraction between male and female, which binds us in this material world. Hridaya granthi, a knot on the heart. So these Bhagavat Saptahas, it's very doubtful if they discuss much about this at all, if at all. It's quite likely you could go to these Bhagavat Saptaha all your life and never learn anything about this. Because it's very disconcerting, it's very uncomfortable to hear about this. Unless we're actually very sincere and very serious to get free from Maya. Otherwise we won't like to, it'll just too much. Some Krishna Leela, yes, some discussion of Maya, some discussion about how all those people over there, they're in Maya. Even some discussion about how we are in Maya, but this is... We can learn the verse and quote it in your Bhakti Shastri and get some points for it, but to actually think about it and discuss it, it's just... But this is the... Again, this is the difference between Srila Prabhupada and maybe so many others. He did discuss these things. At the risk of losing all his followers. In New York in 1966, Srila Prabhupada was preaching this among the hippies. Who had rejected mainstream society and all its values, with the exception of one. That was they very much glorified sex, and they identified sex with love, which is a common mistake. The Vietnam War was going on at that time, and the slogan was "Make love, not war," which myself growing up on the other side of the Atlantic in Britain used to hear this slogan, but as a young boy I didn't really know what it meant, but the hippies, they knew what it meant. Their idea was have sex and not war. They identified sex with love. But Srila Prabhupada preached this. He preached that as long as we are attracted to sex by sexual attraction, then we have to remain in this material world. This is what is Maya? Indra, he knows. Because whenever there's any rishi who looks like he's becoming quite successful in his austerity, then the standard response of Indra is to send some beautiful woman. Kandarpa koti kamaniyam vishesha shobham. Krishna is so beautiful that even the Kamadev is bewildered. Thousands, millions of times more beautiful than anything Kamadev can imagine. When Indra had the foolishness to send apsaras to where Nara Narayan were performing their austerities to attract Nara Narayan, then Narayan Rishi, he saw these beautiful girls come to tempt him, and there was Kamadev with his bow and arrow. And Narayan Rishi said, oh, beautiful girls, huh? Hmm. Then he produced some more, much more beautiful. So you like beautiful girls? Here, try these. Which one do you want? He's the source of all beauty. In this material world, that great illusion. Srila Prabhupada discussed this often. More so maybe than most sadhus did. This is the disease. He would quote this. This is Bhagavata. It's all Bhagavata. So it's uncomfortable for us to think about. But we should know that we are all tied in this world. The bomb, Maitu Nagar. We're tied up just like people are tied up in the prison by iron chains. So we think we're free to move here and there, but we're tied up by the ties of material desire, of which the strongest is sexual desire. And that expands into desires for home, property, wealth, prestige, big buildings. Just to show our civilization is so advanced, we are better, just to all developed from the sexual attraction. So these are facts Prahlad Maharaj teaches. Prahlad was completely pure. Hiranyakashipu was completely demoniac. Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. We pray to Nrisimha to kill those demoniac desires within our heart. Those demoniac desires take many forms. Hoya mayar das kari nana abhilash. When we become the servant of Maya, we have so many different desires, but the strongest is this Maituna digrihamedi sukha, the desire for family life, which is centered around sex life, but which is tucha, simply insignificant. It's like the happiness derived from scratching an itch. We feel immediately some sensation of relief, but the actual effect is that the itching becomes worse. Therefore, an intelligent person doesn't scratch. And in this way, eventually, the desire goes away. So this is Maya. Maya means that which is not. So the illusion that we can be happy in this material world, that is centered around the illusion of happiness via sexual contact. And from that also, there's Sri Aishwarya Prajapsavaha, that we will have big family, big dynasty, and nice clothes, nice house, nice car, all these things. That's why many people, when they come to Krishna consciousness, they think, oh, now we're becoming interested in something spiritual. Does that mean we have to leave home? It's a common question, isn't it? Because the understanding is there within Indian culture, Hindu culture, whatever you want to call it, that spiritual life means you have to leave all this illusion. That is coming especially in the Shankara Sampradaya, Buddhists also. Buddha Dev himself, he did that. He left behind the illusion of family life and left home. So people often ask that. Do you have to leave home? And of course our standard reply is that you don't have to leave home. But actually you do have to leave home. Everyone has to leave home. If someone else says, do you have to leave home? Yes, of course you have to leave. You can't stay forever. You're going to have to leave, so where are you going to go to? Where are you going to go? You have to leave. Anyway, you have to leave. You can't stay. Where are you going to go? Where are you going? People are not thinking. Actually, if we think, do I have to leave home? The very question shows our illusion. To think that this some particular house is my home. That in itself is the illusion, which is why people leave. Or people think they have to leave. Because they think, well, that's some illusion. To think that it's my home, so I'll just wander here and there, or go to some ashram, or go to some... Monam charanti vijane, go wander here and there with a vow of silence, away from all the people. So people think that this spiritual life means leaving home, because that home life is, unless one is a devotee of Krishna, that home life is, it's a whole prison of illusion. So one can be in Krishna consciousness and be in family life, as was Prahlad Maharaj. He himself, having spoken all these very heavy things about family life, he later also married. And his son was a great demon, Virochana, a principal demon, but a demon nevertheless. And his grandson was Bali Maharaj, who was a great devotee, who also acted as a demon, but by the grace of Prahlad was a great devotee. So one can be in Krishna consciousness in family life. But at the same time, one shouldn't think that, well, I'm a devotee, so these shlokas don't apply to me. We should know that this is how Maya works. And sannyasi should also know. Just by taking to Krishna consciousness, one doesn't become free from all the illusions. Grihamedhi sukham hitucham. So also by taking sannyas, one doesn't become free from illusion, as we have unfortunately seen time and time again. may be due to not sufficiently discussing verses such as these, which again, Srila Prabhupada, he would often discuss such verses. Often. Because it is our disease. We're tied up by this. So we should know what that is. That will sharpen our transcendental intelligence so that we can discriminate between what should be done and what should not be done. What is reality and what is illusion? We need to understand these things. We need to understand who is Krishna. We need to understand what is bhakti. And we have to understand what is maya also, so that we don't become more entangled. So, anyone who's serious about Krishna consciousness will have to admit that getting free from material attachments, it's nothing easy. Chanting Hare Krishna is easy. Physically it's easy. And unless we're very impious, and of course many people in the world are very impious, they're not attracted to chanting Hare Krishna, but it is a very easy process. But those material attachments run very deep, and we should know what they are. It's uncomfortable to have to admit it. We don't like to admit it. But we're all entangled in this world by the ropes of illusion, which particularly that of sexual desire. So, one can be in Krishna conscious in family life. At the same time, we should know what is pure Krishna consciousness, what is illusion. We want to promote pure devotional service, which means to have no material attachment. And at the same time, we also want to promote strong family life. It wasn't actually something that Srila Prabhupada preached about so much. He preached a lot about the illusion of family life. He preached about renunciation. He also spoke about ideal grihasthas. But we saw many times that devotees took Srila Prabhupada's teachings as a way to avoid the responsibility of family life. So, responsible family life in Krishna consciousness is very much wanted. How to keep that balance between being a responsible grihastha, discharging one's duties in Krishna consciousness, and at the same time, not simply becoming entangled in family attraction. What is the solution? Well, one thing that Srila Prabhupada again often emphasized or quoted was panchas ardvang vanang vrajet. When one comes to the age of 50, it literally means above 50, one should go to the forest. So one should retire. One should not remain in family life on and on and on and on. Srila Prabhupada himself showed the example around the age of 50. He withdrew from family life to dedicate himself fully to preaching Krishna consciousness. So there are a few thoughts. The transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj are very strong, very heavy. reality. Reality bites. It bites us. It's not very pleasing to our sensibilities, but we require to hear all these things. Okay. So, Hare Krishna. What time was I supposed to finish? 5 o'clock, was it? I think I went over time. All right. Hare Krishna. Do you have more of that cantil? Seems to have reduced the coughing. Temporarily beneficial. Taptasya chat pratividhir yaihan jasheshtas. In the Bhakti Vriksha programs, how can be softly explained to the members about developing detachment from our family? I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe ask a doctor how they explain to a patient he's got cancer. Depends who you explain it to. In the Western world, telling someone they've got a terminal disease, it's considered something. Well, they often don't do so. I don't know what the policy is among Indian doctors, because the whole outlook on life is different. One of my disciples, he served in the Indian Army. He served in Operation Blue Star, which was the destruction of the Golden Temple at Amritsar and killing all those terrorists and this and that. So he killed and saw killed many people. So I asked him, I said, because we hear about soldiers coming from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they have some, even if they don't have anything blown off themselves, they feel traumatized by the seeing people killed and maimed and all this kind of thing. So I asked him that you don't see this among Indian. We see so many people have served in the Indian Army and they don't seem to be traumatized in the way that Western soldiers are. He said, yeah, it's a different outlook on life. Because in India, because of the idea of karma, sukham andre kam daitya, that you get what's coming to you. Kismat. The Muslims, they have a similar. They don't. It's not exactly the same, but it's a similar kind of understanding. Whereas in the West, the idea is that you're here to enjoy. You only have one life, and that's it. Finished. So in the West, it seems to be a very difficult thing to explain to people if they have terminal disease. Whereas in India, you see so many people, they just get old and they die and they don't make such a big drama out of it. Maybe this, the detachment from family life, that's more painful to them than dying. So you can ask a doctor, how do you break the news to them? I don't know how to explain softly. It's not something that I ever picked up all these years. How to explain softly? I don't know. Is it required to explain softly? There's a bomb in this room. It's going to go off in 2 minutes. Explain it softly. Don't upset anyone. If you, who asked this question, you could please read that on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service and then consider if that question should be asked at all. Brahma is an acharya in our sampradaya, not an acharya. He's the first acharya, Brahma Sampradaya. As his followers do have a special relationship with him and not just consider him another devata, question mark. I got lost somewhere there. Brahma also appears as Haridas Thakur in Gaura Leela. Anything to do with the class? How to explain to our parents who are entangled, fixed in sense enjoyment and attachment of family life, even at the age of 70? How to? You just tell them. It's not very difficult to tell them. Just tell them. That's all. You can read the transcendental teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to them. How to explain? How to explain in such a way that they'll accept it? Again, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do so in a very palatable way. I never learned that. Some devotees, they're blessed by Krishna with the ability to communicate with people in such a way that it really touches their heart, but that, I never got that. So I don't know if it's such a thing that can be taught or explained either. It may be also overemphasized because it's not necessarily... Again, you have to go to this strongly speaking book, which I this whole idea that everything you have to do in such a way that everyone feels happy at every moment and there shouldn't be any slight discomfiture in their life, even for a second. And it's not what you say, but how you say it. I never picked this up from Srila Prabhupada, actually. What I picked up from him was a great sense of urgency in communicating Krishna consciousness. More than just trying to be nice to people. That was his niceness. Unrelated to today's topic, okay. I'll try and do one soon. Cupid carrying a bow and arrow. Is it just symbolic? Is there any difference between Cupid and Kamadev? Cupid is an English word. The concept of Cupid in the... What is it? English? Derived from the Greek. What they call Greek mythology is very similar to Kamadev. In the center of London, where our devotees regularly go to do Harinam Sankirtan, where the people come out to enjoy themselves, especially on Saturday night. enjoy themselves means lots of intoxication, lots of shouting and screaming, and probably lots of sex life after all of that. There's, in the very heart of London, there's a statue of Eros. Eros, you get from the word erotica, eroticism. It is a small naked boy with angel's wings with a bow and arrow. So that's the heart of the greatest civilization ever known to man. From a singularity to primordial soup to apes to humans to the British. And that's it. Kimanyat kama haitukam. So that Kamadev is, yeah, he's has his bow and arrows, which he shoots love arrows. So it's a what is called Greek mythology. Particularly, this figure seems to be borrowed from the Vedic understanding of Kamadev. So symbolic, not exactly, but subtle. They're not arrows. The arrows of Kamadev are not are not arrows fashioned from wood or metal, but they are arrows which incite emotions and thoughts and illusions. Most of our time in this part of the world remains in material and illusory activities, and actually pretty much all of the world. And how do we have a little time for sadhu sangha? So how can we overcome the maya and remain in Krishna consciousness? Well, one way is to spend as much time as we can in Krishna consciousness, and therefore programs like this. When you have a holiday, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, we can dedicate to hearing and chanting about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he very much wanted to develop varnashram communities where devotees could cut out of the money culture, the consumer culture, in which we are all forced to spend most of our life working hard. Srila Prabhupada writes, it's in one of the Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, one of the small books, he writes that modern civilization is based on constant hard work. Srila Prabhupada, he had this plan to have varnashram communities where people, devotees, could live very simply without this ugra karma, hard work. And living together, that means even when we're at work, we can be Krishna conscious. How many of you can be Krishna conscious at work and can say Hare Krishna to your boss? I think not many. But in the Varnashram society, then all devotees living together, then we should all have all come together morning and evening to chant Hare Krishna every day. And taka apana kaje, perform our own work. We can do that in Krishna consciousness. So this was Srila Prabhupada's overall solution to this problem. It is a problem that people want to be Krishna conscious, but we're locked into the money culture. If we're to be Krishna conscious, we require good association, which most of us spend most of our life in the association of and working for people who are not Krishna conscious. Bifale shevinu kripana durajana. That is, uselessly serving useless people. That's the story. And so we need good association, and we require time. Good sadhana, or daily, the daily minimum sadhana of several hours, the program that Srila Prabhupada gave us, most devotees don't have time for that. Many devotees, every day of their life, they chant their rounds, just squeezing it in, here and there. So, Srila Prabhupada's program, he didn't say that everybody had to do that, but he certainly spoke about it a lot, and actually a lot more than he did about developing congregational preaching, which is the direction that the movement has developed in. But Srila Prabhupada's vision, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but Srila Prabhupada's vision, which would afford householder devotees especially much more opportunity for practicing Krishna consciousness than most of them presently get, is to live simply on the land, produce our own food, chant Hare Krishna, and in that way we wouldn't have to ask questions like this. Most of our time we remain in material and illusory activities, and hardly we have any little time, hardly we have time for sadhu sangha. How can we overcome maya and remain in Krishna consciousness? At least that question wouldn't have to be asked. So it is a great endeavor to set up such communities. Srila Prabhupada said that 50% of his mission he had to perform. And if we consider that in establishing Varnashram, and if we consider what he did, well, which was unimaginable, the spreading of the holy name all over the world, then we can understand that to establish Varnashram isn't very easy. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, it is possible. And if we ourselves are to be Krishna conscious, and to give our children the best opportunity to be Krishna conscious, then we have to establish these communities. When in satsang and with devotees, it's again off the topic. It's a common question. When I'm in the association of devotees, I feel enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. When I go home to my village, I become more attached to my family and spiritually unbalanced. What to do? Well, you don't have to go home to your village. There's one thing. Bring your family to the Hare Krishna Varnashram community, which we have to establish. Make these communities. Srila Prabhupada said that people would join our farms in their millions. Now, if we'd have had them together, now is the time. So many people would come and join. So in the Western world, so many people are disenchanted with the whole political and economic system. It's something we really have to work on. In India, still, people are enamored by the idea of economic development. But in the Western world, many people are disillusioned by the whole direction of society. So we can all work on this. Those who feel inspired to can all work on this. There are unlimited opportunities for service in Srila Prabhupada's movement, actually. You can do, here in Dubai, there are many people coming, many more people can come, there's much can be done here. There's Jayadvaita Maharaj is in Africa, there's a whole continent practically, hardly anyone's even heard of our movement. Even in India, there's so many people, they never heard of our movement. What to speak of in the Western world, the whole world is very much in need of Krishna consciousness. So there's much that we can do. Mostly devotees are asking questions like, how can I myself be Krishna conscious? If we take it up that how can I serve Srila Prabhupada's mission to help others come into Krishna consciousness, then we'll find that's this the mood that Prahlad Maharaj, Naivod Vijay Paradaratya Vaitaranya Svadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittam Shochetato Vimokachetas Indriyata Shochetato Vimokachetasa. What's the last word? So if we take up that mood, then we'll find that our own spiritual life is also becoming strong. So Hare Krishna. Anything else?